For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
The Word of God again, and it is a good thing to do so. God has given us His Word, and this is a precious Word. It is a Word that builds faith into people's lives as they believe it. And so tonight we're looking at the consistent faith life. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that everyone that hears the words tonight that comes from the Holy Ghost would be open to hear in the inner man in the name of Jesus, with eyes to see, and that there would be an understanding heart, Lord, to see what You have to say and to understand from Your Word about faith and living consistently in that faith life. In the name of Jesus, I ask. Amen. Praise God. So, we're looking at the consistent faith life. And you might say, well, what do you mean by consistent? Consistent talks about a steadiness, a life which is constantly going in the right direction, whether there is opposition or not. And the fact is, because we're living on the earth at a time when sin has entered into the world, obviously the Bible talks about the world to come, but we're living in the time which the Bible calls this time of this present evil world. So we're living in a time where the exercise of faith in the presence of evil, in the presence of trouble, is of great value to the Lord. Very great value. I don't think many people really understand just how great value it is in the eyes of the Lord to consistently walk by faith in the environment that we're in. See, it'd be easy to walk by faith in heaven, for example. You don't have opposition. You don't have the enemies. You don't have the devils. You don't have sin in heaven. There's none of the curse in heaven. Okay, so we've got something to look forward to there, that's for sure. But directly connected in the Christian life are rewards to how we live now. And it's very, very important to get this quite clear. Let's have a look at Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4, and we'll start from verse 20. And we'll go down to verse 27 in Proverbs 4. So, when we're born again, our spirit is born again. That which is born of the Spirit, capital S, talking about the Holy Ghost. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's little s, that's your born again spirit. The nature of your born again spirit is to believe the Lord. Okay, the Bible calls that born again spirit a spirit of faith. Okay, God has not given us a spirit of fear. And so there is a great difference between faith and fear. Faith, fear, doubt, they're opposites. So, looking at Proverbs 4, we see some instructions that are given to believers, starting from verse 20. It says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings." Now, this I think is a big problem in many Christians' life, that is not giving attention to the words of God. Even in services where the word is powerfully preached and taught, there's people that are not attending to the words of God and not inclining their ear, obviously the inner man ear, to hear the sayings of God. And because of that, it has an impact on that person's life, and you'll see it in a minute. The impact that it can have, the positive impact that it can have, is if you make a decision to attend to the words of God, if you make a decision to incline your ear to the sayings of God. If you don't make those decisions, then you're making the decision for the opposite. Lots of people can go through and listen to all types of good preaching, good teaching, or even do their prerequisite word reading, but not get much out of it because they're not allowing the Holy Ghost to have His way to instruct them. And of course we know that the Spirit of Truth has been sent and works in the church, and the Spirit of Truth, the Bible says, He will guide you into all truth. And Jesus said that the Word of God is truth. So you want to be guided by the Holy Ghost. You can't be a person that's not attending to the words of God. You can't be a person who's not inclining your ear unto His sayings. Verse 21, let them not depart from thine eyes. Once again, we see a big problem. People putting their eyes onto all types of other things except the Word. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Now that tells us that the words of God have to be in a particular place. And we can look in, we won't look at it quite yet, but in Romans 10, we know the word of faith is placed in your mouth. It's got to be in your mouth and in your heart. But in order for it to be in your mouth, it should be in your heart. You try confessing the word of God without it being in your heart, it's impossible. It's just clanging sounds. But if it's in your heart, then it comes up out of the abundance of the heart. The mouth speaketh. It becomes a natural thing. It's a supernatural thing, but it becomes natural to you as you invest that time to put it into your heart. So he's saying, keep them in the midst of thine heart. And this is so very important. I can't overemphasize this because it's completely related to having a consistent faith life. Verse 22 tells us the relationship between doing what I've just brought out in the scriptures here and the results that you get in your life. For they are life. This is where the consistent faith life is. They are life unto those that find them. Well, how can you find them unless you're looking for them, unless you're attending to them, unless you're seeking them, unless you're inclining your ear to them, unless you're giving priority to them? For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Health to all their flesh. We've talked a lot about health and a prospering soul and a believing heart. It's very, very important to see the connection between the words of God in your heart, you giving priority to the word, and the manifestation of life, abundant life that Jesus promises in your life, a manifestation of that abundant life and health to all your flesh. Now notice what it says in verse 23, keep thy heart with all, what's that word? Diligence. Diligence. Does that mean you have to put a bit of effort to keep your heart? That is, to protect it, to keep it in the state that God wants it to be in. It's not God keeping your heart, although He has His part in it. As you draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to you. But you can see here that there is a decision for us to make to keep our heart with all diligence. And that keep is talking about the consistency of protection, making sure that the wrong things don't come into your heart, investing the time to put, as we saw before, the word of God into the midst of your heart. So it says here, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Everything relating to you having that abundant life comes out of your heart. Out of your heart. And faith Christians should realize this, because it's the word of God in your heart, and as you believe it, that's where faith will come into your heart, into your life. We are people that understand that as we invest time and that effort to put the word into our heart, then there are going to be results that will come. You will be a growing Christian, but if you put little time into the things of God, praying, seeking the Lord, getting the word into your heart, and so on, it would be no surprise if you come up to a time of trouble and there are problems. In fact, let's just go across to Proverbs 24, verse 10, and then we'll come back to Proverbs 4. Proverbs 24, verse 10. Just have a look at this one, because this is very important for us to see. It says in Proverbs 24, verse 10, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." So if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. All right, so the question arises, does God want you to faint in the day of adversity, or does he want you to stand? Doesn't Ephesians 6 say, having done all to stand, stand? So God wants you to stand. It talks about standing by faith. So if you faint, if there's a time of adversity comes and you faint, or you are doing all the wrong things, or going against what the Lord wants, the fact is that your strength is small. Now, does God want your strength to stay small? Obviously not. He wants you to grow. Jesus talked about people with no faith. He talked about people with great faith. Okay, so there is a spectrum. Some people have a little bit of faith. Some people have much faith. Some will have great faith. Some people have no faith. And, of course, as the more you put the time into looking and attending to the Word of God, the greater will your spiritual strength be, so that when adversity comes, you'll be able to stand. You're not going to collapse. You're not going to faint. You'll be able to stand because there is that strength that has been invested into your heart. So let's go back to Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4, start from verse 24. We'll read verse 23 again. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Okay? So all the good things relating to abundant life. "Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee." Okay? Froward, rebellious, perverse lips, put far from you. And that's a decision you have to make. If a day of adversity comes, you don't want to be speaking unbelief. You want to be speaking the Word of God. You don't want to be speaking fear and doubt. You want to be speaking the Word of God. And how does that happen? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, and it comes through keeping the words of God in the midst of your heart. All of this is related to the consistent faith life. Verse 25, let thine eyes look right out and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. So be focused. Be focused in your Christian life. Verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Okay, so what is it that lights your path? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Isn't that what the Lord says? So that's the way you're able to ponder your ways and see whether you're going in the right direction or the wrong direction. And by doing that, you can be established, as it says there, established. Verse 27, turn not to the right hand nor to the left, remove thy foot from evil. So God wants us to be consistent. He wants us to be consistently going in the right direction, so that even if adversity comes, it doesn't divert us off into the wrong direction. Even if something comes along. You might not be expecting it, but because you've been investing that time and attending to the Word of God and doing what He has instructed you to do here, keeping your heart with all diligence, then you're not going to be easily diverted off the path, off the track. Have a look at Romans 1, 15 to 17. You see, this life, this consistent faith life, is not an option in the Lord, but it is a direction of the Lord. It is a direction of the Lord, is what the Lord has told us that He wants us to have in our life. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ has pointed the way for us. And here we see in Romans 1, verses 15 to 17, it says, and this is Paul speaking here, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." That's good. You want preachers that are ready, don't you? You want preachers that are ready to preach. Glory to God. And verse 16 there, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So what's the power of God? The gospel of Christ, the gospel, the word, in the broadest sense, the gospel is all of God's word. And we see in the sense of the gospel of Christ here, it's particularly talking about the news that the Lord Jesus Christ has paid for salvation. He has brought us out of the curse. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. And so salvation is spirit, soul and body. It's a whole powerful salvation. And that's what it's got there. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So that's something that's very important to take hold of. There must be a believing in the heart. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Verse 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So how are you established in righteousness? It's revealed from faith to faith. There is a growing, there is an increasing in faith, and it's through you as a just person, as a blood-washed person. The Lord Jesus Christ has paid the price for you and made you just. You can live by faith. That's the life that you are to live, by faith, by trusting God's word, by trusting what He says, not diverting your path, as we read in Psalm 4 there, but going forward. And no matter, and as you do that, you increase in strength, so when a day of adversity comes, you don't faint in that day, but you stand. You stand. You don't suddenly go into froward mouth or perverse mouth mode, but you go into faith speaking mode. You see what I'm saying there? And this is very, very important, because what you do in adversity, whether you faint or stand, or your actions and your speaking, what you do in adversity is telling. Is telling. It is a reflection of, have you put the time and effort into your heart, into keeping your heart with all diligence? Now, we're just looking at the scriptures here. The just shall live by faith. That's the way the just should live, by faith. That's the way to go. Also look at John 20, verses 24 to 29. Now, this is a part of scripture that shows, and Jesus gives an instruction here, and it's not just for one person, but it's for all those who are living by faith, an instruction here. And in John 20, verses 24 to 29, the Lord Jesus Christ shows that He is not happy with unbelief. The Lord Jesus Christ shows that he is not happy at all with unbelief. You see, when we look at things like unbelief, what are we looking at? We're looking at all types of error, all types of problems. And we read from verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. This man is very sight-oriented. Very sight-oriented. Is Jesus happy about that? Verse 26. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless but believing. So it's both a rebuke and an instruction. Be not faithless but believing. Verse 28, and Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And you've heard the scripture, we walk by faith, not by sight. It's very, very clear that we have a word, a very firm word, a solid word on which to build our lives upon. Like that man that built his house upon the rock. We have the word of the Lord that we can build our house upon, our life upon. And we must be, as it says there, people who believe, and we can be blessed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Now, there's many things we have not seen, but we believe. We didn't see the crucifixion, but looking into the scriptures, we believe that it happened. We didn't see Jesus descend into hell and suffer for us, but we believe that it happened. We didn't see him arise from the dead, but we believe through the scriptures, through the Holy Ghost guiding us into all truth, that it happened. And you'll see that right through our life, from the beginning right through, from faith to faith, that's how we have a consistent faith life, by continuing to believe and to stay in that believing no matter what. No matter what. But Jesus said, be not faithless, but believing. That's an instruction of Jesus for us today. Be not faithless, but believing. What did Jesus associate with faithlessness? A person that's faithless will demand, I won't believe it unless I see it. There's no faith involved in that. No faith involved in that. That's the way of the world. But see, the Word of God is very clear. It talks about putting the Word into your heart, and then there'll be results that'll come out of that. Out of it are the issues of life, praise the Lord. We won't read it, but in Mark 11 it talks about have faith in God. That's a command by the Lord Jesus Christ, to have faith in God. Not to have the faith of God, that's not what the scripture says. It says have faith in God. And that's very, very important for us to see. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. We mentioned before that the born-again spirit that we have is not a spirit of fear, it's not a spirit of doubt, but it's a spirit of faith. And this is our nature now. Whether you feel like it or not, This is the way the just have to live. The just shall live by faith. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13, tells us quite clearly the nature of what we are. It says, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak." So we can see here the way it's meant to be. If you have a spirit of faith, you can say, "I believed," or "I believe. I believe what's written. I believe the truth." When Jesus said to his disciples that he was going to be raised from the dead, they should have taken that word as truth. Not that he was saying some sort of fantasy, but if he said he was going to be raised from the dead, then that would be the truth. So what do we see here? The spirit of faith says, "I believe, and therefore speak." I believe and therefore speak. That's our nature now. So consistent faith life will be, I have a spirit of faith, I choose to believe. And it's a choice. I choose to believe. You notice what Thomas said, "I will not believe." It was an action of his will. It was a choice. I will not believe. We don't want to say that. We want to say, "I will believe. I will believe." You may never have seen a miracle, but you can say, "I will believe, and I do believe that Jesus performed miracles and that miracles are for today," and so on. So it's a decision to say, "I believe," because that's our nature, to have a spirit of faith. As it says in verse 13, let me read it again. "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak." So we're not talking about believing just any old thing, are we? Like believing the newspaper. I think most of what you read in the newspaper is half-truths and so on. But you can be absolutely sure that what you're believing in the pure word of God is absolute truth. It's the truth you can take. And so a consistent faith walk, faith life, will be, I believe, and therefore I speak, therefore I act. I believe. Let's have a look at 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. This is one which we've looked at many times, but it's important to take hold of and look at, because this once again shows our nature. Our nature, God does not expect his children to be living outside of his best. He's expecting his children to be living in victory, to be living in faith. And 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 is a key one for us. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So say after me, God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's your nature. You have that spirit of faith we were talking about before. Little s, spirit of faith, that's your born again spirit. You've not been given a spirit of fear. You have a spirit where God has put his power and his love and a sound mind into it. You have a spirit. And your inner man is a spirit, and you have a soul. You have that sound mind, and by faith you take hold of it. And you make sure that as you go forward in your life, you're taking those steps so that as you go forward, you're not diverting. So when that day of adversity comes, your strength is there. Your strength is there. You've grown. You've continued. So you don't wait until the adversity comes before building that strength or making sure that strength is in you. It's no use waiting for the winds to come and then try to build the house. Okay? You've got to build your house upon the rock. You've got to build your life upon the rock. You've got to build good things into your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. Diligence talks about doing something. So God has not given us a spirit of fear, glory to God, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This is our nature. It's a good thing to put into your mouth. I have a spirit of faith. I haven't got a spirit of fear. God has not given me a spirit of fear. He has given me a spirit of faith. I believe and therefore I speak. I believe God's truth. I believe God's word. I believe what God says when he says that he is my fortress and my refuge and my strength. I believe that. I believe it when he says, I am your healer. He is my healer. I believe it when it says, he redeemed me from the curse of the law. I believe it. On and on and on. But you've got to invest it into your heart so that then it comes out of your mouth. Praise the Lord. Just one final scripture in Romans 10. Romans 10. Look a couple of verses in here in Romans 10. And we'll tie it all together. A consistent faith life is a life that doesn't deviate when adversity comes or when things get a little bit hard. A consistent faith life is, I will stand and walk by faith and speak by faith, both in season and out of season, both through difficulty and through the easy times. Even in this difficult type of environment that we're in, this present evil world. In fact, this is the time, as I said before, this is the time to really be investing in your heart and putting the right things into your heart. Romans 10 verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. The word of faith which we preach. So notice that the word is nigh thee. It's very close to you. It's right there. It's not locked away in some original manuscripts. It's right here. You've got it. You have access to it. God has given it to you. He's given that word to you. In fact, how precious is it to have the word of God in written form, pure, perfect and accurate. This is how you can have great success by putting this into your heart and into your mouth. And it's the word of faith which we preach. It's the word that produces faith. Okay, we see that in verse 17. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But remember what we said, to have an attentive ear, you can't just be coming along and not making a decision, or not making a decision to hear what God has to say. You must make that decision to hear, to have that attentive ear, to be diligent. And this is very important. I believe that as you make decisions tonight even, I will go the way of the Lord. I will go the way of the Word of God. Then you'll have victory manifested in your life. And this is very, very important. You see, when Jesus came into a room and it was full of wailing people, wailing over someone that was sick or almost dead, what did he do? Did he put up with that? Or did he say, get out? We're going to have a faith atmosphere here. That's what you've got to do. You've got to put out that type of wrong speaking, wrong thinking, and saying, no, this is what we have to have. We have to have a spirit of faith present, and the Lord wants that for his people, because that's the way you get victory. That's the way you can go forward in him. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you, Lord. We thank you for giving us a spirit of faith. We thank you, Lord, for caring about us. We thank you, Lord, for giving your word, which is so precious to us. Father, I ask that every person here and who hears the word preached would give ear to this and would understand, have an understanding heart, Lord, and go forward in this so there'd be a consistency, and that as there'd be decisions to attend to your word, to give ear, and to put the priority on the things of God. And as those decisions are made, Lord, there would be a growth in strength. I pray that every person here would grow in strength, so that if there's a day of adversity comes, a day of trouble, that we don't faint. We want to stand in you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I ask this, Lord, and I praise you and thank you and glorify you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Amen. God is good.